There we go. We were looking at some things the last couple of weeks and made reference to, in the old days, we used to have on a card the benefits of learning God's Word, you know, and it said, have peace in your life, more prosperity, health, harmony in the home. Anybody remember any others?
Overcome worry and fear.
Overcome worry and fear.
That's probably the first one.
What was it?
That was probably the first one.
So you get that, right? So last couple of weeks, first week we did peace, you know, having God's peace in your life, which is, you know, basically learning to trust and rely on God is where your peace comes from. It's a fruit of the Spirit. As we manifest God's Spirit in our life, the new birth, and manifest that gift, and so on and so forth, we produce peace. And, you know, sometimes we get confronted with crises or situations and we panic. But if you got to grab your mind and take it back to what God says. And that's how you maintain your peace. And then we looked at also overcoming fear. And, you know, basic way of overcoming fear is to learn God's Word and apply it. Believe it. We can have fear, but you know, you confront the fear with the Word of God, and then you get rid of that fear. So the basic question is, are you where you want to be in your life with God? You know, I was in the Word for, you know, 6 months, and I saw guys that were in the Word for 3-4 years, and I said, wow, I want to be there. And I look back, and I, you know, obviously, hopefully I went way past there, but I'm not anywhere near where I want to be with God. I want to keep getting better and learn more and walk better with God and see God in my life every day. So what do you have to do to change your life, to make it more God-like, to make it better, to be stronger in your spiritual walk with God? What do you have to do? So that you live life with joy, where you're thankful, where you have peace, where you make a difference to yourself, your family, and the people that you come into contact with day by day, where you work, where you play, you know, how do you make a difference in people's lives? And it's by living the Word of God, manifesting it. And what I want to look at today is how we are in harmony. You know, we have more, we talked about in the old days, more harmony in the home. But I thought more of, how do we live a more harmonious life? So I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. And I just thought of another verse. I'll have to throw it in here in a minute. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 1 first. And verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And of course, chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated from the gospel of God. And then you read on, and it's the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. And that's really what all the epistles are. Wherever the word gospel is used, it's referring to that gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, except where it's specifically in the context is talking about something else, like in Galatians chapter 1, it says, you have taken on another gospel, which is not another gospel. Because if you took on another gospel, it really wouldn't be a gospel. It wouldn't be good news or glad tidings. It would be wrong. So it would really be bad news. Okay? It's a figure of speech there. So here it says, Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto wholeness, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is absolutely the power of God when it's believed. You know, the difference between the Old Testament and Moses and today, it's, you know, we have a different Word of God given to us, or it's updated. It has to do with us because we're born again. We're not under the law. We're not before the Savior came and paid the price. But it is still that Word of God, when it's believed, is the power of God. So whether it was back in Genesis and God issued His Word and it was believed, or today when He issues His Word, when it's believed, It's the power of God. You want the power of God in your life? Find out what God says. Believe it. You'll see the power of God. Pretty simple. Except that sometimes we don't believe.
Right.
Okay. But we endeavor to believe. We push to believe. We work at believing. We, you know, try to discipline our minds to believe what God says, to take action on it. That's what we have to do. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness is revealed in the Word of God, in the Gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from believing to believing. As it is written, the just shall live by believing. The just is the righteous of God, those that have been made righteous, and they are to live by believing. And this is a quotation from the Old Testament, but it's said a number of times throughout the Word of God. It's believing. And, you know, I thought about believing, and I thought about sometimes we are very limited in our thoughts about believing. Now, just think about it. A lot of times when we think about believing, we think about, I need healing, so I got to believe. Or, I need something in my life, so I got to believe. Or, somebody's hurt, and I'm praying for them, I got to believe so they get healed or delivered. Or, we need a miracle, so I got to believe. And those things are all true. We see those things, and we want to believe to see God's deliverance, God's word come to pass. But you know what? Believing is supposed to be an everyday occurrence. It's supposed to be in every part of your life. Believing is not just when there's a crisis. Believing is not just when you have a need. We're to believe God in every aspect of our life every day. And that's how we have harmony in our life. You know, we're doing God's will all the time, as much as possible. Because that's what Jesus Christ said. I can of my own self do nothing. But as he shows me, I do it. You know, I do God's will. I always do the things that please him. And that's what we are to do. So we are to live by believing. We understand God's word, what God did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And every aspect of our life, every facet of our life, every detail of our life should be affected by believing God's word. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I have to throw this in because I learned it recently and it's cool. But it goes along with the teaching. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 12. Everybody knows this verse, I believe. If you don't know it, learn it. It's a great verse. It's a verse concerning God's word. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, which means it is living and powerful or energetic. That's the answer to the world's energy problems, the word of God. And is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You know, where does spirit begin and your soul end? Where is your soul and where is your spirit? You know? Soul is life in the body, in the blood. You know, it's life. So where it can you see it? Can you taste it? That's why it's referred to sometimes in the Bible as the spirit of man. And then spirit, where is your spirit? It's inside of us, isn't it? Can you find it? Can you measure it? Can you weigh it? Can you see it? No. And how can you divide it from where the mind ends and the spirit begins? You know, but we know in the great principle, we learn that God's spirit teaches your spirit and your spirit teaches your mind. Right? And then it says, it's dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And the word joints is the Greek word which we get our English word harmony. Isn't that cool? Because it fits together. Mm-hmm. It fits perfectly. So it can divide the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the Word of God. So you have to put the Word of God in. If you want to live harmoniously in life, put the Word of God on. And if you're walking with God, and, you know, it really doesn't matter how other people take you because you're in harmony with God. Right. If somebody doesn't like you, well, that's their problem. You know? But I guarantee if you're walking in harmony with God, you're going to be in harmony with a lot more people than you would be otherwise. Okay? So let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy? Yeah, 1 Timothy. Could be. Or it could be 2 Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 3 it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." You know, it's not enough to God. I mean, it's great. God wants every man to be saved, right? That's His desire. That's His will. He sent His Son. What does it say in John 3:16? "For God so loved too." The world, and that doesn't mean the earth. It means the people of the world, right? It's the cosmos. It's the inhabited world, and there's no exceptions to that. He loves the world. That's why He sent His Son. He wants all men to be saved, but He also wants us to what? He wants us to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, it's the truth shall set you free. It's the truth that will set you free when you know it. And you believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't do anything for you. You know, it's so funny. Sometimes you walk. You ever walk into a library and they'll have that quoted. They'll say, "Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, they kind of take it out of context. Or you'll see it on a court build, a courtroom, courthouse. Or you'll see it in a college, at a university. You know, but the truth is the Word of God. That's the truth. And that's what will set you free. Okay, so let's go to Matthew. So to have harmony in your life, to live in harmony in your home or wherever you are, you know, it takes first and foremost to be in harmony with God. God is simple. Do you ever think about that? The world, religion. We're going to go to Matthew 22. Religion and the world make God complicated. You ever read any theological works?
Yes.
I'm reading a book from the 16th century. And so it's, you know, it was, first of all, when they wrote in the 16th century, if you were educated, if you were a smart guy, you had to write in Latin. If you didn't write in Latin, nobody would have accepted it. Nobody would think you were smart. So this book is translated from Latin in the 16th century. And this guy is refuting some stuff that is being taught. And, you know, it's about, you know, the Trinity, and this guy wrote about the Trinity being wrong. But he goes through all these different writers and all these different, he makes all these different citations of writings of all these guys, and he quotes them. And you know, it's just like, what are they talking about? If you ever read the Nicene Creed and you read those guys and what they said about God, you go, who'd want to believe in that?
Right.
You know? Right. They just make it complicated. God is simple. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the plants. He created the animals. He created man. And He made woman for man so they could be companions. Simple. Right? And then man screwed up, so then He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us. And what does God want in return? Love. He just wants us to love Him and put Him first. That's all He wants. So what's so hard? Why is it so complicated? Matthew 22, verse 36. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" What's a commandment?
Mm-hmm.
Got to do it, right? Thou shalt. You know, mostly in the Bible, when you read thou shalt, it's a commandment. You know, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things. Thou shalt not have any idols, so on and so forth. Those are commandments. That's why the Ten Commandments. Why are they called commandments? Because you had to do them. Right? You had to do the Ten Commandments. So this guy is saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now this is in the Gospels. Jesus Christ is speaking to a Pharisee, a lawyer, a guy who wants to know what the law is. But is it true of us?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's true of us. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And then it says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, now in the Ten Commandments, there's four commandments that deal with God, and there's six commandments that deal with people, or our relationships with people. And so, love thy neighbor as thyself pretty much covers those six commandments. So really, they're true of us. You know, should you murder somebody? No. Should you covet thy neighbor's things? No. Should you bear false witness? No. You know, they're all common sense. They're all things we accept. You know, are we to have idols?
No.
The only commandment that doesn't apply to us is keeping the Sabbath day. So, you know, every day is holy to us. Every day we live for God. Every day is a day where we worship God. I can worship God where I don't have to go to a temple. I don't have to go to an altar. I don't have to go to a. I don't have to have a priest make a sacrifice for me. All I have to do is speak in tongues, right? And I'm worshiping God. I can honor God at any moment of the day or night. And you know, it's a great way to live. Then it says, "The second is like in the first: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Which means, you know, hang on, but they depend on, you know. All the law of the prophets, all the law in the Old Testament, it's these two things. Put God first and love thy neighbor as thyself. Walk in love. Pretty simple, isn't it? So to live a godly life, to live in harmony with God, is to put God first. And then walk in love. So every day, at home, or at work, with friends, with neighbors, in whatever situation you're in, you know, you put God first and treat others as you would like to be treated. You know, love them. And, you know, the Word of God says we're to love. We're to walk in love. Let's go to Ephesians. You know, there's so many great verses in the Word of God where you just, you know, they just sum up everything. And if you just did those verses, you wouldn't have to know anything else, really. Now, you learn other stuff because it enriches your life. You know, you appreciate God more. But chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children." Well, if we're going to imitate God, we have to love. And we have to give. And we have to be faithful. We have to be gracious. And we have to be merciful. That's imitating God. Just, you know, think about, you just think about the attributes of God. What you know about God. What defines God. And tells us, you know, he's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of forgiveness. Yeah, he's all those things. So how hard is it? Be an imitator of God. Huh? Just do what God does. Create a universe. But you know what? Wherever you go, if you're walking in the love of God, it affects people in a positive way.
Right.
It just does. It may freak them out, but it affects them in a positive way. And, you know, when you're walking in the love of God, God just takes care of you. He just watches over you. Then it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You know, we talk about love, we talk about walking in love. Jesus Christ, he commanded the apostles and he said, he commanded them that they were to love one another. And then he went on to say, and love one another like I loved you. So here again it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And, you know, that goes back to Romans 12:1, where it says that we are to be living sacrifices. We're to walk in love as Christ walked in love. We're to give our lives in service to God and to Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament or in the Gospels, the word disciple is used, and God called people, or Jesus Christ really, or God really called people to be disciples. And then 12 of those disciples became apostles, and then there were some other apostles that Jesus Christ called. But the word disciple means a disciplined follower. And it's a disciplined follower of a teacher or a teaching, which really translates into being a student. But being a disciple does not give any connotation of commitment or dedication. And so the word disciple is not used past, I think, chapter 21 or 22 of the book of Acts. And it's never mentioned in the epistles. Because God really would have us to be more than disciples. He'd really have us to be dedicated, committed servers, servants, you know, to be imitators of Jesus Christ. What was Jesus Christ?
The greatest servant of them all.
Yeah, the greatest servant that ever lived. He said, if you're the greatest of you will be the least of you. The greatest of you will be the servant of all. So we are to be servants. So if we're believing in all aspects of our life, if we're imitators of God and we're followers of Jesus Christ and we're doing as Jesus Christ did and walking in love, then we're going to believe God. We're going to be walking in love. We're going to be giving in our life day by day. We're going to be kind-hearted and gentle in spite of ingratitude. And, you know, you're going to have ingratitude. You're going to do for people and it's going to be ingratitude. You know, you're going to get hurt sometimes. But you know what? If you're walking for God, it has nothing to do with people hurting you. It has nothing to do with people's ingratitude. It's, you're serving God, right? It doesn't matter what other people... That's, you know, walking in grace, right? Unmerited favor. You know, none of us deserves any favor. So when we show favors towards somebody, that's imitating God. That's being gracious. We're to be honest. If we're believing God and we're walking as Jesus Christ, we're to be honest. We're not to lie or steal. Right? We're believing God. Well, if you're believing God in every aspect of your life, you're honest. You work hard, always doing your best because you work for God. You're a witness for God and His Son, Jesus Christ, in everything you do. So whether I'm at school or at work or playing sports or you know, going to the grocery store or whatever, I'm a witness for Christ. Pretty simple. To believe God and to be in harmony with God is you have a good prayer life. You're praying. And you're not just praying for me, me, me. And I got to have this and I got to have that. The greatest deliverance is when you pray for others. God would have us to pray for others. Jesus Christ is continually making intercession for us. Why? That's his job. But he loves us. So he's always, he doesn't take days off. He doesn't take vacations. And of course, to believe God in every aspect of our life is to renew our mind. You know, if you're not renewing your mind, you're not believing God. and you're not being a follower of Jesus Christ. And we are to be forgiving. You know, we forgive. Yeah. We forgive and move on. You know, it's interesting. We're commanded to forgive, aren't we?
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to forgive. So too many people carry too much baggage. You know, too much baggage. This person did this to me 38 years ago. I'll never forget. You know, what's that all about? It's just too much baggage. It's just, you don't have, if you're praying, walking with God, praying for people, giving, speaking the word to people, blessing people, you don't have time for baggage.
Right.
You don't. It slows you down. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Well, right up above where we just read, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means putrid, rotten, vile, smelly. But, in contrast, with emphasis, that which is good to the use of edifying, meaning to build up, to encourage, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, unmerited favor to the hearers. Maybe they don't deserve it, but so what? You know, if somebody does something wrong, or they do something to you, you say, you rotten rat so-and-so. No, you say, well, I love you anyway. God bless. Have a great day. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And that, you know what that means? Don't make God sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit there is God. Don't make God sad. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, so even if we did these things, we're still sealed until the day of redemption. Because God knows we're dopey. You know, we're going to make mistakes. But he doesn't care. He cares, but he sealed us up so we can't go bad.
So we can't completely rot.
Pardon me?
So we can't completely rot.
That's right. Literally, that's what it means, you know.
Yeah.
Let all bitterness, you ever have any bitterness? Get rid of it. Wrath, extreme anger. Anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, it's a great thing. It's a great way to live. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. You know, that's where our rest really is, in the Lord. It talks about Israel refusing the rest of God at times. You know, they refuse. Well, they had the opportunity to go into the promised land right away, right? Within a couple of weeks or months after they left Egypt. And they said, we can't go in there, and there's giants there. Giants are in San Francisco. I don't get it. But, you know, they freaked out, didn't they? And only two of the 12 spies said, yeah, we can go in there, God promised. So they refused the rest of God, and they wandered for 40 years. It says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You know, don't freak out. You know, God promises, God will deliver. Sometimes you have to have a little patience. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, just stay cool and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. All the other stuff is a waste of energy. Let's go to 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 1 and 2. It says, blessed or happy. Psalm 119, verse 1. Happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, or who walk according to the word, right? Blessed are they which keep his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart. Which, if you're seeking God with a whole heart, what are you doing?
You're doing something nice.
Yeah, you're putting him first. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Let's go to verse 165. We read this 2 weeks ago when we did the thing on peace. It says, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Not just peace, great peace. How about that? And nothing shall offend them. You know, that's pretty cool when you think about it. If you're walking with God and you have the peace of God, nothing offends you. Yeah, you ever get offended? Nothing will offend. Now, you know, some things are going to offend. Somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. Somebody uses Jesus Christ. That might offend you. Right. But it doesn't affect you, does it? You just think, that guy's an idiot. Mm-hmm. Or that woman's an idiot. Or, you know. But you have great peace. You don't get offended. You know, you got God on your side. It doesn't matter what people think or say. Let's go to Colossians. We're going to close here. If we believe God, we just do our best to be followers of Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing mystical or magical about God. You know, He lays it out for us in His Word. It's kind of funny if you go back in church history and you read about some of the things, some of the movements, schisms, divisions, the sects that sprang up. One of the things was mysticism. Yeah. You know, the Gnostics and the Sophists. And, you know, people would say, I got special insight. And, you know, what pulls people away from the Word of God today? People saying, I have the special insight, the special connection. Right. It's baloney. You know, if people have a special connection, the special connection is they're believing. And they're believing the Word of God. And they're walking with God. And and if they have a gift, you know, it'll be obvious. It won't be mystical. It'll be pretty plain and clear. It's not mystical. It's not magic. There's no magic. There's no, you know, nobody has this magical answer. You know, one of the hooks that grabs people away from the Word of God is somebody says, well, this guy is healing people. Great. You know what? There's no gift ministry of healing.
Right.
It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
You know, if you believe, you believe. If you don't believe, you don't believe. It's all simple. You listen to God, you listen to God. You don't listen to God, you don't listen to God. It's pretty straightforward. We read God's Word, we learn God's Word, and we endeavor to do it to the best of our ability. And one of the reasons we get together like this is so that we can take turns, or, you know, we do at times. Other people teach, and people, help explain the Word. We help each other understand, and we encourage each other to do it. It's one of the points of getting together. We are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. So we are to help one another, to be examples to one another, to encourage one another. Where are we? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's God's desire. This is a prayer. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's God's desire. It's God's desire. He wants us to walk in harmony. He wants us to understand. He doesn't, you know, it's not this blind leap of faith, is it? He wants us to understand. He wants us to know. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And you know, and that strengthened is where?
In the spirit.
In the spirit. And in the mind. You know, it's not a physical strength. It's a spiritual strength. Strengthened in the inner man, right? According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And sometimes we have to have some patience, and we have to have long suffering is endurance, being able to bear up under the pressure. But if you're in harmony with God and you have the peace of God and you've confronted fear in your life, you can have that endurance and that long suffering. With joyfulness. God's going to do it for me. So I'm just going to move ahead. You know, I was thinking the other day about the guy at the Temple Gate Beautiful. He was lame from his mother's womb. But why was he going to the temple? And he was over 40 years old when he got healed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You think when he was 25, he was, hey God, what's the deal? How come I'm not healed yet? I don't know what went through his mind, but he was there every day, wasn't he? Faithfully. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He had that patience and endurance. And what happened? God healed. Just sometimes it just doesn't happen instantly or dramatically or miraculously. But that's not to say it won't happen. Sometimes it does. And that's cool when it does. But it doesn't matter if it does or it doesn't. What matters is that it happens. That God takes care of us. Then it says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Pretty great. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received, lambanoed. Keep on lambanoing. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, you don't get rooted and built up overnight, do you? It takes work. And sometimes along the way you get uprooted somewhat. You ever see a tree that gets uprooted but then it reroots? That happens. You know, it doesn't get totally wiped out. It just kind of tilts or goes a certain way, and then it'll shoot those roots down deeper and it'll reestablish itself. And, you know, sometimes that happens in our lives. You know, we get knocked off course a little bit. And, you know, we lose our grip. And so we have to reestablish our roots in the Word of God. Sounds pretty cool. Rooted and built up and established in the faith, or in the believing concerning Jesus Christ, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, or actually that's the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then it says, beware. You know, whenever you see the word beware, it's actually a figure of speech. It's a word to catch your attention. I forget what it's called, but behold, beware, those words. It's used figuratively to say, open your ears, listen, shut up. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that's really what it's always about. You know, it comes in different forms, but philosophies, theologies, intellectual stuff. God's word is simple. you know, you can dig in and you can learn figures of speech, you can learn the Orientalisms, you can learn the Greek, and you can learn the grammar, and you can learn Hebrew and Aramaic, and you can do all, and that's great. All that stuff is great because it helps you to understand. But the most important thing is to understand the keys to how the word interprets itself and keep it simple. Right. Because if it doesn't fit with the simple truths, you're going to be screwed up.
Be like a Berean.
I didn't hear you, but that's okay. You know, sometimes people will say, so, the first thing I think about is, when anybody tells me anything, I say, but I've been studying this or I've been studying that, first thing I try to think about is all the clear verses that I understand concerning that. That's the first thing I do. Mm-hmm. Think about, what does God say that's really clear and really simple? Because if there's one verse that's clear and simple and it doesn't agree with what, you know, this person says or thinks, then I have a problem. Then I have to sit down and really study it and look at it. Because usually there's 8,000 clear verses as compared to one difficult verse or one confusing verse or words, or there always is. You know, I went through the Gospel of John last week. Do you know how many verses in the Gospel of John Jesus Christ says, I'm the Son of God, I never do my will, I always do the Father's. The Father sent me, I didn't send myself. It's like, I think there's about 100 verses just in the Gospel of John. Clear, simple verses where he says who he is, or makes a distinction between him and God. You know, God does that with everything. He doesn't leave it to chance. And just simple, clear verses. You know, can anything separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Yeah. You know, how many verses tell us that in the epistles? You know, that God's desire for us is to prosper and have a good life. Yeah, it's just on and on and on and on and on. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to answer our prayers. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Where were we? I got lost. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, after the universities and theological schools and seminaries, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and amen. You know? There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And ye are complete, completely, 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 complete in him, which is that of all principality and power. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 8. It says, But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his... I know you've done all these things, so let's get to the good part. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, nor Italian, nor Puerto Rican, nor black, nor whatever. But Christ is all and in all. Christ is in all. You know, there's only three kinds of people according to God. Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. Right? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know what? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all covered, isn't it? And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And then, it says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing who?
One another.
We're to teach and admonish one another. That means, admonish means to warn. Or put to mind is another way of saying it. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Should be to God. Okay? So, that's all. So, we can live in harmony with God if we love God and put Him first. You know? And we believe God. And when we believe God, that's not just in times of dramatic circumstances or crises, but it's every day in everything we do. We're to walk in love. We're to just be followers of Jesus Christ, walk like He walked, walking in love, giving Himself in service to God. So God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us and blessing us and taking care of us, for You're just being the best God and the greatest, most loving Father, and for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who's our brother. And we just thank You that He's there all the time making intercession for us, and that He's the head of the church, not us. And that He's the one that directs us. We thank You, Father, for a great afternoon, a great week ahead, that we can just walk with You, that we can just walk with joyfulness and peace in our hearts, with no fear, but we look to You, and that You are a God that always supplies, always takes care of, always protects, is always there for each and every one of us. And we just thank You for that in the great, wonderful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.